Blog Talk Radio.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross with the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain.
Scott Enster Network.
If you're joining, welcome. Thursday. Just kind of open it up to a little bit of anything, that if you've got something on your mind, anything, any questions, I'm just going to leave it open. I've already got the chat room open. And someone else might be calling in here a little bit to say a few things. I wanted to remind everyone, there was, you know, the question of Enoch was brought up last night. And I have a I'm going to post it here on the chat. The I had a page dedicated, and with some references out of Jude and Hebrews and Luke and Genesis and so forth that go back to the book of Enoch. And if you go to my webpage, scottenster.org, on the right side, you'll see a statue of an angel. It looks like it's seducing a woman. And if you click on that, it'll take you to it. And on there, I've got a little bit of everything, but I have the Book of Jubilees, the Book of Jasher, the Book of Giants. And I believe, and I everyone should read the Book of Giants, at least look at it. And then there's several versions of Enoch here, but what I want to bring out is the fact that there's a gentleman reads the book, so you can actually listen to it. His name's Charles. And anyways, so you can also listen to it on YouTube, and if you wanted to read it as well as you go along, sometimes that helps me look at things a little differently when I hear it, and as I'm reading it, I'll do that. I mentioned that about the book of Revelation. But again, I've got the link there on the chat room, and then again, you can access it from the homepage of Scott Enster Network on the right, where the statue and the woman are. All right. You know, there's an awful lot of information coming forward. Julie's hard at work putting some things together. And it's a bit shocking. Now, we've been talking about reptilians. We've been talking about insectoids. We've been talking about amphibians. We've been talking about the corruption of man from the fallen angels and all the stuff that is combined together that is for these last days. And we've mentioned before that, you know, the Bible being the Word of God, there was an attempt to keep us from having books to you know, bring it more into a focus of exactly what's really going on out there. And the more that we uncover, the more that it reveals that we are correct, the more proof, the more direct towards the Catholic Church, towards the Jesuits, towards the Zionist movement, towards those things that have been established as a mainstream church here in America to keep us in bondage to not really know the truth. Now, it's a bit complicated. There's a lot of information that can't just be thrown out at once. I'm a little overwhelmed myself about some things, but the pieces of the puzzle are coming together. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. A reptilian or someone of that nature just doesn't come to see me. Okay? I've mentioned this with people with borderline personality disorder, which, by the way, I believe are also, I'm going to now include those that are hybrids because of their temperamental attitude, like Obama when he wants to kick a door open. And what I've had is not the parent, but the grandparent bringing children in to see me. Case in point, had a woman that is taking care of her grandson because the mother is irresponsible, a druggie, and basically slept around. Got herself pregnant. The mother, the grandmother, decided to, you know, take care of the child while the daughter, you know, hopefully gets her act together. And in the babysitting of the child, there were behaviors that, you know, gave concern to the grandmother. And so anyways, during a children's deliverance, a mass deliverance, when we brought lots of children in, this woman brought this young child in. This young child immediately did not like me, and that's not the case. Normally, kids really take to me when I bring them in. Sometimes they don't want to go. And this wasn't the case. This was a situation where this young man didn't like me. And I was paired up with him. It was just the way that the Holy Spirit laid it out. And I knew that I needed to lay hands on him. I knew that I needed to be able to, you know, to do that. And a fight ensued. And what was amazing is the child literally was flipping and turning and turning and flipping and rolling and doing everything in the world to get out of this little sphere that had been created by the Holy Spirit. Now, someone the other day asked me what was the strangest deliverance, and I guess I'm going to have to include this because I really didn't think much about it at the time because there's just so much weird stuff goes on. But this young man, I didn't even have to hold on to him. There was like this bubble that he was in, and I didn't necessarily have him on my lap. He just kind of was there. And he was turning and rolling and trying to do everything he could to get away from me, but he couldn't. And I didn't have to restrain him to any degree. It was very bizarre. And I got a clear word that I needed to lay hands on his thyroid, his throat. And so I took, you know, I think it was my left hand, it's usually what I do. And I take my index finger and the middle finger, and sometimes the ring finger, depending on the size of the throat, and I laid on his throat. And his tongue came out like a snake and did the up and down motion like snakes do. I'm very familiar with rattlesnakes. I've dealt with rattlesnakes a lot, being a man tracker in the deserts of Arizona, a desert survivalist, an avid hiker, camper. So I've seen in my 47 years in Arizona many, 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 many rattlesnakes of all types. So I know what that looks like. So as soon as I did that, that's exactly what this child did. Now, I can't say that looking into the child's eyes, because a lot of people that I pray for, a lot of times their eyes are closed. I'm going to start changing that. And one of the reasons that I had eyes closed was it did assist and keeping the person focused, because if they look around, you can get off track. You can, you know, there's some things that happen. Well, this young boy, of course, his eyes were as big as saucers. And I can't say that I really saw anything, but I certainly didn't see anything that was alive either. And the grandmother, who was sitting there, witnessed the tongue action, witnessed the snake-like reaction that came out of his mouth, and it happened three times. It happened every time that I touched his throat. Now, this would have been 5 years ago, maybe six, five, at least five. And at the time, I was just starting to to become more familiar with synthetic flesh, with humanoids, with clones, with reptilians, to a different degree than I had prior. I was starting to see a connection. And there were other people who were good researchers that were more into it than me. And so that, you know, always stayed in my mind as to this situation. And now I'm thoroughly convinced that there is not a question that that's exactly what I was dealing with. I believe that the daughter, the mother of this child, ended up getting pregnant by somebody who had reptilian gene, and the boy was an example of it. And the grandmother, who pretty much kept her mouth shut through the whole thing, and I get why, had seen things that she knew wasn't human or wasn't normal, and figuring that she would bring the child in because of it being, you know, a demonic influence, that we would be able to rectify the situation. And instead, this turned out to be one of those weird deliverances where I'm not even sure how it ended up, you know, finished out. But in either case, I'm going to put that in a category that there's no question that this young boy, which would be 5 years older now, is somewhere along that lines of that type of hybrid. Now, what does that mean? Well, that's a good question. Does that mean that the father is from a distance now going to keep an eye on the child as a handler? Is this one of those situations where daddy himself was maybe an offspring, and the gene finally reared its ugly head again in this particular case? I don't know. I haven't a clue. Because like I say, I've been away from all that now for quite some time. But in either case, here's the question. Does it mean that this young boy is damned? Does it mean that he's not going to enter the gates of heaven? Does it mean that he will be thrown into the lake of fire? I'm not going to stand to make that judgment. I have an opinion, and that opinion grieves me. Because in reality, is there a point in time where there's enough separation in the genes that the issue of the reptile seed, the seed of Satan, the seed of the serpent, is far enough away that it doesn't take hold anymore as a curse? I have no idea. This is one of the things that I think all of us are going to be brought up to speed together with. And I mentioned the other night that when it comes to children, these things that are going to be exposed to us, there's going to be not just one species, but there's going to be several. And the New World Order is going to try and pass them off as aliens from other planets. So they're going to say that they're, you know, extra-dimensional, when I'm going to tell you they're interdimensional. They're going to be things that are part of the fall of man, of the fallen angels, of those corruptions that have took place all the way back to Enoch. Now, we've talked about pre-Adamic race. We've talked about different, you know, situations that may be long before the books that we have. And I think that there's a lot of information that does point to that. I'm certainly not going to rule it out. God is going to do what he does. He's been around a very long time, and for us to say that we're the only ones, we're the only thing, would be ridiculous. Now, I will say this, that we were made in an image to be in a relationship with God. Okay? Now, in that form, that makes us different than the other creations. Doesn't mean we were the first ones, because maybe these things have taken place and then came to a finalization long before we came along. I don't know. Maybe, you know, history repeats itself. Or there may be parallel universes where this is taking place, which could very well be the case. But in any case, we were made to be in a physical form, but yet still in some dimension, which was the Garden of Eden, which I believe is in its own dimension. That's why when they were cast out, that they were thrown into this dimension, which is more physical or less likely to be supernatural. But the effects around, because of the spirit realm, fourth, fifth, sixth dimension, those things of the second heaven, those things that are trying to come from that realm to this realm, is our situation. And so that's what we're fighting against. That's what we're dealing with, is that there is a attempt to take us, who was made in the image of God. And by the way, the book says in our image, not just in his image. And so there's all this information that the Bible in itself doesn't address. But in reality, it does address it. There are some books that have been taken out. Jasher Jubilees, the Book of Enoch, we've already talked about this. Now, why would they do such a thing? Well, in order to keep us in a frame of mind, in a matrix, that we're only capable of understanding a certain aspect of our reality. That keeps us in bondage. That keeps us from understanding the spirit realm. Now, as a deliverance minister, as one that casts out demons, that the public refers to as an exorcist, the things that I have seen over the years are very broad, very strange, very supernatural, paranormal, whatever you want to call them. The mainstream church does not accept, does not comprehend, will not acknowledge. And so we have to ask ourselves, why is that? I mean, if we're told to cast out demons, if we're told to do these things, and yet the church has done everything they can to keep this from being, there's something wrong with this picture. There's something terribly wrong with this picture. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do tonight, I'll get to the chat room here and look some things over. I'm just setting the stage for what we're going to do tomorrow night. The information that Julie's dug up and so forth. Now, I want to also make a statement. Now, I've been doing this a long time, and I've learned to have some thick skin. Doesn't mean that I don't take offense to certain things that happen, because I do this because I care. I was where a lot of you were at. I know the mental torment, I know the agony, I know the despair, I know the loneliness, I know the rejection, I know how it is. And just as my mother, who was a nurse that came out of World War II, she had done part of her nursing, I don't know what they call nurses now, that she was an RN, if there's a different name for it, eventually became someone that was in the operating room, but yet had to do psych training. And so she was then a nurse or in training in some of these old-fashioned psych wards, which were hell holes, which were disgusting, which were every imaginable nightmare that you could ever imagine. And she, some of the stories she had and some of the things that she had told me, and she had mentioned to me, when I was first getting into the deliverance ministry and coming out of what I had gone through, she said in her understanding of what she had seen that, you can break an arm, you can receive an injury and heal, but when it comes to the mind and you fracture the mind, it's something that is damaging to the point of eternal torment. When your mind is broken, when you're operating under the demonic that has done horrible things to you, and in things that people who were demon-possessed or demon-influenced that did to you, betrayal, breaking your heart, abandonment, rejection, these things, which we were never meant to receive, by the way, because we as man didn't have those mechanisms. Children don't have those mechanisms either. This is a learned behavior modification. That children, one of the reasons that children are such targets is because the things that are done to them wound them deeply. They don't have coping skills. And unfortunately, people, as they go through time, it turns out they don't really have coping skills either, and so they carry this stuff with them. Now, it's not their fault at all, not at all, because we're all different. We all have different personalities. We all have different upbringings, different circumstances, and so I can't just say that, you know, that that's anyone's fault. Now, because we were never intended to go through such things, then we're very vulnerable. And I've mentioned that demons are very capable, excuse me, very capable and willing to do anything they can to hurt us. They set us up for life. They cause us to be our own worst enemy. They put us in positions that we then become the perpetrator. We become the one who injures others. And they laugh. They think it's the funniest thing in the world. That's one of the reasons I try not to bite into a situation. I mentioned last night about taking the bait of Satan, like the young man that flipped out on here, you know, in this hallway a couple of weeks ago. That could have got ugly. That could have got really bad. Now, I kept my cool. I stated my position and my case, and when I had enough, then I asked him to leave. That's all you really can do. Now, there was a time that wouldn't have worked out that way. It would have got ugly. Now, it doesn't mean that I have put myself in a position where I allow myself to be abused. Not at all. There's a point in time for everything. There's a time to live, a time to die, a time to fight, a time to live. There's a time to do whatever. Now, what we have coming is going to be so magnified, so intense. One of the terms in electronics is called amplitude, where you have a baseline of a circumstance, and then it's magnified to a certain degree. What we have coming is going to be so magnified that those who are broken, those who are wounded, those who are not in the Word or have not been trained or taught by the church to understand who we are, what's really going on, and what really came along with the fall of man. Because there are things in place now that were intentionally done thousands of years ago to work up to today, and those who call themselves pastors, those who call themselves leaders, those who call themselves elders, many of them are going to have to leave town. Because there's going to be a lot of people wanting to know answers. They're going to want to know why they were lied to, why they were set up, why things were not put in place correctly to get these individuals who are going to be abused by the elements that are coming. Why did this happen? There's nothing worse than a crowd of people who now have lost everything. There is no food and water. You have parents who are deeply concerned about the well-being of their children. Their children are now put in situations that may cause their demise. And anger, and this is where the demons come in. The demons are going to stick to everybody like glue. There's literally going to be mayhem. Now, when we see war situations, when we see chaos, when we see those things that take place in countries, you know, they refer to them as war-torn countries. That is what we're going to see here, and we're going to see people turn on each other. We're going to see people sell each other out. We're going to see environments just like Katrina. Katrina was a perfect example. That whole thing was staged to see how people in close quarters put in a disastrous situation without supplies, without the proper medical. Now, the people had the chance to get out of there. If you remember, the governor could have used school buses. He could have done all kinds of things, but he didn't. And then there were explosions that were heard during the storm and the dikes, you know, that surrounded that area. So everything was staged just like 9/11. Now, one of the issues is that the next things that are coming, including nuclear power plants, by the way, Fukushima is every bit as bad as you hear. And the nuclear power plants that we have here within this country are strategically placed on fault lines. Go look at the map. They're placed exactly where they shouldn't be. That was intentional. Fukushima should have never been where it was, that power plant. Never, never. Same thing with those along the coast of California. Men are ignorant and to the point that they'll go along with mass destruction if they think they can get something out of it. Now, Julie has made the statement that a very high percentage of humans are not actually humans. I have to agree with her. Now, let me go full circle here with having thick skin. The stuff that we've brought out, the statements that I have made, my teachings, for the most part, I believe are accepted. But there is also another element that comes in that shows that it is not accepted, and that's fine. We want everyone to go to their prayer closet and go before the Lord on anything we give them, unlike the church. Now, those who do their research, those who look and investigate, come back and find out, sure enough, there's enough information out there to support what we've talked about. Now, we base everything in my ministry and what I do on the things that we have seen with our own eyes, the things that have taken place, and also the achievements, otherwise the victories, those people who are healed, the particular demons, the particular fallen angels, the situation at hand that brought them into that, and then their victory. And so what I'm want to make everyone understand that though you may not agree, we've actually been hitting the mark all along. Okay? So again, when we present information, we're not trying to be spectacular. We're not trying to bring something like some of the other talk shows and so forth that seem to be more on emotion. We're trying to give you the facts to get you ready for what's coming. Because if you don't have thick skin, if your spirit isn't right, if your soul isn't in the mode to protect your heart, that's a very bad place to be. And the mainstream church has not prepared you whatsoever. The mainstream church has put you in bondage, has kept you from understanding the truth, and has set you up for the big lie, for the big falling away, for the great deception. Why? Why is supposedly a house of God? Now, this has nothing to do with God. God is truth. God is love. Jesus is our answer. And it's through them, through his word, through those things that have been given to us, but unfortunately taken away, we need some answers. We need to understand why a church that supposedly is representing God has put us in a position that we are, on an average, unable to defend ourselves for what's coming. Now, those who are in the church who deny anything that I teach, which is unfortunately the larger percentage, they've got a rude awakening. Now, I've noticed, hang on a second. Now, I've noticed that the couple churches here, they're not doing so well. The ones that I have dealt with here, the money's not coming in. They've overextended their budgets. And so what I'm seeing is that these churches that have rejected what I tried to bring in are not doing so well, and there's a potential that they may fold. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you what I think is really going on, and that the funding that they have received from the Zionists in the first place that put them in the position to have these large buildings and to have the expenses that they have, that their job and their assignment is over with. I want you to understand this. They're done. They've accomplished what they set out to do. That was to keep you in a lie, to keep you from deliverance, to keep you from being who God intended you to be. And now we're very close to the hammer dropping, and so now they're pulling up stakes and getting ready to vacate. Okay? Now, somebody locally here that I used to attend, and I'm not going to mention the names, but all they ever talked about is how God led them here, how this was where they were supposed to be, and then one day they pulled up stakes and moved to New Zealand, just like that. Now, you don't go to New Zealand unless you got $1 million. you're an American citizen and you want to live in New Zealand and you want to reverse that, you don't go there broke. You go there with some money in your pocket. Now, how does that happen? Well, obviously their job was done. The pre-trib and all the other things that still that would have told us about giants, that would have told us about those things were put in a laid out in a way that didn't quite give you the whole truth. That still led you to believe a certain way without embracing those things that the other books tell us. And so I want you to keep an eye on larger church or churches that are starting to pull up stakes, that are starting to abandon, that are starting to leave, where they're selling the buildings or the pastor's leaving to somewhere else. I believe they're all being called in now. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, but I believe that they're finished. I believe that they've accomplished what they set out to do, and so that means real quickly that we're going to start seeing things happen here in the United States, and we already know, I already know in your gut and in my gut that something's wrong and that we're real close to something that's catastrophic, something that will change our lives for forever. And those who have been obedient in these churches for the New World, for the Zionist, for the globalist, they're being called in. So keep an eye. Doesn't mean all of them. But whatever they're doing, I'm starting to see this. And I'm going to start keeping an eye on that, and I want you to keep an eye on it too. And if you see a large megachurch or something that's in your area, let me know, okay? And I will guarantee that there's something that's tied with the Zionists, okay? Now, let me get back to the chat room here, and I'll just go over some things. All right. So if you've got any questions, go ahead and bring them up. And yeah. Yeah. So again, I'm just a little bit of everything. If Bob, if you're out there, I was looking at the call-in. If you can just call in. See, what is your number here? Okay. So I'll keep an eye out for your number. And then if those who are online now, those who have called in, if there's something you want to talk about or bring up, if you hit 1, it comes up like an exclamation mark on my screen here, and I'll know that you want to talk, and I'll bring you on. I'll roll the dice because I never know who's going to say what. Sometimes it doesn't always work out so good. But, again, Thursday night, I'm behind schedule. I made a lot of calls over the weekend. I did like 30, 40 calls, and not everyone answered. So if you didn't hear from me, I called you, or at least you were on the list. And if you still need to talk, please call me again, and I'll get back to you. I'm getting caught up. I just got really behind. You know, some of you knew that I was helping out with the Constitution Party. I have a friend that was running for to represent Idaho in the Senate, and he actually made the primary. So that means he'll be going up for the main one coming up in November. And if he were to actually win, he's asked me to join his staff, and I'm going to consider it, though the time is short and the potential of us even getting that far is probably slim. But either way, I still feel that I have a duty to do whatever I can politically. We're in the mess that we are because the Christians, through the dispensation doctrine, which was introduced by the Zionist into the seminaries, to keep us from being active in the political realm and voting and all the other things that are involved in that. That's one of the reasons that they snuck in and did what they did, because Christians stood down. So though the time is short and so forth, if there's anything I can do, I'm still going to do it. If that's what the Lord wants me to do, then I'm going to do it if that circumstance comes up. All right, I'll get back to the chat here. All right, so What will happen to demons and people? Well, see, one of the things, let me just help you out with demonology here. The amount of types of demons are vast. I mentioned that the other day. I believe that the creatures, the hybrids, whatever you want to call these things, reptilians that are going to come, I believe that there is a mass differences in them. I believe that there's several different types, some small, some large, some smart, some not so smart, some very strong, some very fast, some with psychic type abilities, kinetic things that they're able to do. Demons are kind of the same way. And demons and fallen angels are two separate things, but a lot of times the behavior of things we see may actually be fallen angels. Now, there's a situation I call timeshare. And what that means is that demons can actually leave one person and go into another. They can leave out of a wife and go into a husband. They can leave out of one child and go into another child. They can leave out of one friend and go into another friend. Now, some demons are in and bound to the individual. Okay, there's a hierarchy, there's a regiment, there's an order of things in the spirit realm. So what it means is that you have the lower grunts, the lower workers, the ground pounders, whatever you want to call these guys, that are the worker bees, the ones who were actually established within people to cause diseases, to cause mental illness, to cause anger, to cause whatever. Generally, they're bound. That means that the fallen angels or the higher ones have bound them in there. I think if they were to try and leave, they would run into a lot of problems with the other demons or fallen angels. But there are those, especially those we refer to as gatekeepers. Now, when I'm working with somebody, I don't always, but it depends on how tough the situation is, there may be, quote, a gatekeeper. That is one that allows in certain demons and then or lets certain demons out. Okay? Now, that means that if I address the gatekeeper and whatever his legal right is, if I can get that dissolved, if I can get it canceled, if I can void it out, then whatever lets demons in and out no longer is in control. So then demons that want to leave will leave. Demons that want to fight, then they can't fight me as hard. Now, when there's a mass die-off, otherwise a mass killing, let's say an atomic bomb goes off, and you have hordes of people, thousands of people, maybe even millions of people who perish, their demons will be released again. Now, it appears in the Book of Jubilees that what God has done is that he has, from the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, have put them, 90% of them, in the earth or in the pit or in the realm as a staging area. We'll just call it hell, okay? 10% of them have been what's been allowed to roam the earth, that those who are disobedient, those who reject Jesus, those who are accursed, or those who commit crimes, those who commit sin, that's why demons are given or have the legal right to you. Okay, so if you're in disobedience, if you're willful rejecting, if you're causing sin, then these demons then have a right to you, and there's only about 10%. Now, if things are this bad with 10% of the demons, just think what it's going to be like with the other 90% released. And I've talked about that I saw that in 2005 in a vision, that there was a release of demons, and those who were on the fence, those who had open doors, then insanity ensued. And it was just absolute mayhem beyond the comprehension of anything any of us could ever imagine. Now, when I send a demon to the pit, doesn't mean that God then allows another one to come out to replace it. I don't know. It's very possible. But I'm also going to tell you that those creatures like in Dulce and Area 51 and other places, that they are creating, that since they did not come from God, they're the very same type of circumstance where the infestation of fallen angels into the daughters of men and other creatures, because those things that were the hybrids that came out, they then turned and misappropriated animals, fish, birds. So that's why demons are such a vast variety of different creatures, everything from snakes to birds to whatever, wolves. And so what we have taking place today is the very same thing, that these that the creations down in Dosei and Area 51 and other places, New Schwabenland or wherever is going on, is an abomination. Now, they don't always get it right, and since some of these don't live very long, then I believe that there's a replenishing of demons back into the world. Now, did God then make 10% and leave it at that, and anything after that he doesn't touch and it just keeps adding? I have no idea. But what I'm concerned about is that with the masses of the hybrids that are being generated, that in there, they're loaded with demons anyway. So you have a physical body of a being with a type of personality. We'll call it a sense. I'm not going to call it a soul, because since God didn't create it, then it doesn't have the Spirit of God in it. Whatever it is, it's a corruption of Satan. And when it dies, then does it become an evil spirit? I think that there's a very good chance the probability is yes. So we have potentially millions of creatures in these underground things that are, that if we, when we kill them, that spirit will just go into something else. Now, Julie will tell you the same thing about reptilians. That when they take the essence on of a human, otherwise, let's say the movie stars. Okay, so now you have a movie star who or someone who wants to become famous, sells their soul. Now, either they're cloned, or they're brought to near death, and the reptilian spirit goes into them. This is why when you go on YouTube and you watch the videos of these movie stars, singers, especially these women that are out there, Beyonce and some of the others, that you'll actually see them alter and change in their teeth, their tongues, and their eyes. And so you're not seeing, quote, the reptilian, you're seeing the essence or the spirit that has entered into them in exchange. So the person that you're seeing, most likely if they have not captured the spirit and done whatever they do with it, and or that their spirit is in hell already, which probably is the case. And so what we're looking at the physical essence or the physical body of the original individual in or clone, and in it is the reptilian. Pretty bizarre, huh? Try and get a church that'll tell you that. And I can sit here all day and you can say I'm crazy, really? Well, go look at the YouTube videos. Thousands of them now. See, with the technology of 4K and high definition, and I do video, by the way, and I mentioned that I myself was in the manufacturing of cameras that had to do with infrared, that had to do with those things that could be attached to telescopes and binoculars and microscopes. And with the different CCDs, and now we have what's called CMOS, that these things are capable of seeing not just the visible light spectrum that our human eye sees, but also into the infrared. So now, whenever you take video, what you're actually seeing when it comes back to you is a one-to-one ratio of what's captured, but what is also captured is in the other spectrum that our human eye cannot see. And so what these people are doing is they're opening up that spectrum with software. They're slowing things down because the frames, and now we're starting to capture things that they were getting away with at one time. And now they're not pulling it off because our technology is finally caught up, and I think they're letting it go because we are in the end times, And that means that that, you know, we're now capable of in fact, Julie and I have talked about some things. I'm going to start working on a project that may be beneficial to revealing these things. And I don't want to go into too much detail, but I think it is possible. I think that others have been working on it too. I don't think I'm the first one to come up with it. And the question is, would I be allowed to continue with it once I figure it out? And I think I can. So what we're going to be dealing with is that because these things are becoming in higher numbers, whenever you have a high number of cases, then the oddities or the imperfections or the errors increase, right? That's the way it is with anything. If you start mass producing something and you have not changed the quality control, you're going to automatically have a high number of rejects, right? It may not be a higher percentage of rejects, but you're going to see a higher number because you have a higher production, right? So now that we have more video cameras, people with iPhones, smartphones, and other means of capturing, this is one of the reasons that we're seeing these high numbers now. People are going back to their computers and using whatever software, slowing things down, looking in between the frames, and opening up the apertures, opening up the spectrums, and now we're starting to see things. Okay? Did I answer a question? Okay. I don't remember if I did or not. I get going. That's one of the things once I start talking, I try and my mind's like locked onto something. So it takes me a while to come back to it. the thing about spirits, are they going to inhabit or change over into other people? Absolutely. There's going to be a mass transfer of demons. And by the way, if you have an ungodly soul tie with somebody that you haven't broken, you need to do that now. Tonight, I want you to go to your prayer closet and say, you know, Father, I fornicated with this individual, or I entered into an ungodly relationship with them, and I have not confessed, I have not repented, I have not renounced, and I wish to do that now. I am sorry for doing such a thing. And your laws and your word, I was disobedient. I was rebellious. I sinned. So I repent. And when you do that, then break that soul tie, saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and like a knife, I sever that soul tie. And Father, I ask for the Holy Spirit to go out and bring back those parts of me that are in that person. Wash them. Cleanse them in the blood of Jesus Christ and return them back to me for me to be the whole man or woman of God that you've intended me to be. And Father, anything that's inside of me that belongs to them, because you said that when we join together, we're one flesh, and because I had sex outside of marriage, again, Father, I repent. And anything that's in me, you know, have them come out and go back to that person. All right? That will keep that'll close that door. That'll separate that tethering, that line, that linkage that you had to people in the past. And that way that when the stuff hits the fan, so to speak, then you've closed that door. Okay? Very important. Very, 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 very important. All right. Let me get back to the calls here. Boy, time's flying right by. Okay. All right. Let's see here. Okay. All right, Bob, I'm going to bring you on. I see your number here, and you said that you had something to say or bring up about the Word of God. So, Bob, you're on. Go ahead.
Well, good evening, Scott. How's it going tonight?
Okay.
It's something I just want. I know you don't have a lot of time, so I won't get too long-winded here. But I was looking into the Old Testament in Deuteronomy's chapter 27 and 28, and we all know what they're all about. But when you go through the 27th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses called all the elders of Israel together, the first thing he said to them was, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And then he goes on to talk about what they need to do to build an altar in verse 6, an altar of the Lord of God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings there unto to the Lord thy God, and thou shalt offer peace offerings, and so on and so forth. And then it gets down into the area where it starts talking about the curses in verses 15 through the end of the chapter. And it's the interesting part of this is, like, in verse 15, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. And they did this. And what they were doing is, as he was mentioning it, they were saying, we're not going to do this. By them saying amen, they as a people were saying, we're not going to do this. And there's all kinds of as you go down there, there's all kinds of different sin, you know, lying with beasts and lying with your sister and your so on and so forth. And then when you get to chapter 28, in verse 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, and that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then it goes on talking about all the different blessings here. And this isn't a law. This has not changed. I mean, it's Old Testament. But if people would diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord God and to keep his commandments, and as you've been talking about tonight, you know, these things such as soul ties and getting these things cleaned up and getting to the point where, you know, God can bless them, which is what he wants to do. He wants to bless us in the city, and he wants to bless the fruit of our body and have for us to have the more abundant life, and not just so that we can run around and say, hey, look at how much all the money and everything God has given to us, but so that we will have provision to help others in the times that are heading our way. He doesn't want us to be destitute, but he does demand of us and desire of us, if you will, his, you know, our heart, our whole heart. He just doesn't want part of us. He doesn't want us to be religiously, you know, like 1 hour a week. It's a 24/7, 365 day a year commitment. It's a relationship. He sought us out. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a life, to die on a tree, and he rose him on the third day and set him in the heavenlies to be our mediator. He's doing that as you and I are speaking right now. But, you know, there's certain things that we need to abide by. And one of the things that's so out of control in our nation is idolatry. You know, not just the worshiping of other gods, but making things into gods, and you know, whether it's a job or it's, you know, whatever it might be, possessions, you know what I'm trying to say. It's just it's not complicated. Moses set it out here in Deuteronomy that this is what if you will do this, this is what the Lord God is going to do for you. And then as he gets down here, he says, but if you don't do it, all these other things are going to transpire. You know, you're going to be cursed. And I think people that are listening right now need to realize that you have to really, this is a time, this is definitely the time that the wheat is being separated from the chaff, in my opinion. Because there's a lot of things happening that are going to get really, as we used to say in the old hippie days, freaky. Freaky and weird, dude, and they already are. And if you are not founded on the rock, Christ Jesus, if you don't have a solid foundation, you're not going to make it. I was just that's what I wanted to share. I mean, they're wonderful promises all through the Word of God for those that put Him first and worship Him and, you know, seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's a good thing to seek the Lord God, and it's a good thing to walk with Him daily, and it's a good thing to pray, not only for other people, but for yourself. So that's pretty much what I wanted to share tonight, Scott.
Okay. Well, I'm going to follow up with that. What he's talking about, and let me point something out. Oprah Winfrey, when I saw, I only ever watched her once, I think it was back in the 90s or something, and she made the statement that God is not a jealous God, and I about fell over. Yes, He is. He wants us. He wants us to be in relation, and to share means corruption. Now, what Bob is talking about, you know, the devotion, too much is given, much is expected. Okay, now, getting to Seattle Sunshine's question here, I had a chance to go back and look at some of these. What happens to us towards the end if we still have demons and stuff? How, you know, when God pours out, and that's going to answer another one. God is going to pour out His Spirit for those who are obedient, those who are in the Word, those who have repented. Even if you have spirits, the spirits were originally there for the disobedient. Okay, when God pours out His Spirit, I believe that there's going to be a mass deliverance of those who are in Christ, those who have repented, those who are there to stand and fight and do the works of the Lord. And I noticed here someone mentioned about resist the devil and he will flee. Absolutely. So those who still have bitterness, those who have resentfulness, unforgiveness, good luck. That's what we got to get rid of. That's one of the biggest strongholds that keeps demons in people. And when I have a hard time getting a demon out, lo and behold, that's one of the strongholds. And it may actually be that they haven't forgiven themselves. Well, they got something against God. Huge. You got to get rid of that. So pouring out His Spirit, I believe, is going to be part of a deliverance for those who are in Christ. So otherwise, if you've got demons that have been making you sick, if you got demons that, like Paul, okay, he had a messenger of Satan that was like a thorn in his side, okay? One of the things was to keep Paul from being prideful. He was a very intelligent man. He was way ahead of his time. And whatever the circumstances were between him and God, that seemed to be how that worked out. But for us, on an average, it's going to be a trial. But, you know, our faith and our willingness to stand against the enemy, I'm going to continue, so don't worry about that I'm going to drop out here. I'm going to finish out what I'm doing. And so that means if you have repented, if you have asked for forgiveness, if you have renounced, and you've gone before the Lord, that when He pours out His Spirit, then you're eligible. Okay? So don't worry. If you haven't gotten mass deliverance yet or anything like that, and you still have some issues, it's your faith that's going to bring you through. Now, CERN, whether the earth is flat or not, whatever, they're breaching the spirit realm. I've mentioned before that in my research that what's going on there, that is a controlled detonation, a controlled nuclear detonation. Now, they have found that when they detonated nuclear weapons all the way back from New Mexico all the way to Hiroshima and then after, that every time they did it, that the alteration or the change of space and time, a veil opened up. And there was, through the cameras, through the sensors, there were things that came and went. So otherwise, the spirit realm was opened up, and whatever was on the other side. If anyone's ever seen the book Hellboy, I really believe that that was one of the things they were telling us that took place. Where, if you remember, he was a little demon that made it through the breach during one of the Nazi experimentations or nuclear blasts or whatever it was, and he ended up being on our side. So, anyways, I believe that that's the case. So whatever they're doing, they're trying to put a stop in the door so the door doesn't close. That way, whatever comes and goes can come and go without having to force its way in. Demons that will leave you will go into other people. People who have sin, people who have unforgiveness, people who have not taken care of business, which is a terrible, terrible situation. Because one, here's what I found. If you, and I want you to listen to this, okay? If you have a man and a woman, a young guy, a young girl, and they have witchcraft in their family, but yet they haven't gone to the full spectrum of practicing the witchcraft in order for the witchcraft spirit then to have full control of their brains and their mind, what the demons will do is they'll cause a girl and guy to lust after each other, and they'll bring them together sexually to fornicate. And now the two demons of witchcraft now join forces, and the magnitude, the amplitude that I was talking about, that's what takes place. So now they have joined forces, they have doubled, tripled, quadrupled their power of witchcraft, and now one of the other, if one of the two has, let's say, a lesser of constitution, meaning they're more apt to be tormented, they're more apt to be frightened, they're more apt to have anxieties and fear, because some people are just a rock. I don't care what you do to them, right? We all have different personalities. And by the way, people that are of a strong will, you may notice that a lot of them aren't tormented so bad by demons. That's because the demons, the ones of anxieties, the ones of fear, the person's constitution, the person's their personality, who they are, is stronger, and the demons don't have as much effect on them. So someone who has a less ability to stand against stress, you know, some people just fall apart. That's who the demons really have fun with. So you can have two people take the same demons. You have a group of demons over here and a group of demons over here, but yet you have two people where one person is more apt to be to take things personally, to get upset over things, where another person just, you know, I don't care, just another day, right? Dump those demons in them, and you'll think that the one that has the strong will, you would almost think they don't have any demons. But yet the one who doesn't have a strong will or a weaker personality, so to speak, is absolutely beat up, on drugs, alcoholic, crazy, acting like a borderline, having borderline personality disorder, because the demons are able to influence them. Okay? We have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So therefore, fear comes from demons. Fear comes from the spirit realm. And the individual who's a stronger will, and if some of you have been in the military, or especially if you've ever been in law enforcement, there was an example of an officer who was in a shootout, and they called him the Iceman. And he was, for some reason, he was away from a squad car, and he ended up using a payphone, this was a long time ago, to call into his squad to tell them that he was under fire. And he's on the phone, and you can hear the bullets winging by and him firing a few times, and he's just talking like I'm talking to you right now. He's not excited. They referred to him as the Iceman. He was one of these guys that no matter what the circumstances was, you weren't going to ruffle his feathers, where other people should never be police officers. I just saw a video on YouTube, on Facebook, where this officer really abused this girl on a bike. Maybe some of you have seen that. And it's ridiculous. See, that person should not be an officer. See, that's one of the things for psych tests that they have lifted. See, now they're allowing people in who should never be. But we also have a massive population that are full of demons, that are full of anger, that are full of rage and hate and unforgiveness and retaliation demons. Those are stinkers. We'll see those in Jezebels. Jezebel's ambush, retaliation, sabotage. Boy, they're just as mean as they get. So what we're going to see is a pouring out of God's Spirit, but we're also going to see those who are disobedient become even more infected. So if you think someone is a bad person now, you ain't seen anything yet. And by the way, there's going to be a lot of abandonment. People are going to start taking sides. People who you thought were your friend are not. It's just going to be heartbreaking. But I want everyone to be assured that this is one of the reasons I'm doing what I'm doing, that even though I don't get to pray for you or get a chance to lay hands on you or whatever the situation is, for you to understand what's going on, for you to go to your prayer closet, bring it before the Lord, repent, renounce, this is what cancels and dissolves and voids the legal rights to the demons. Now, I gave the example the other night, and I've done it before, where this elderly lady came in who was, people call her the church lady, and, you know, we started praying for her, and one demon came up, and we asked the demon, you know, what's your legal right? And the demon said, don't have one. The grandmother broke it, and so why are you here? Well, no one told me to go. Okay, so the demon, because the legal right was broken, could not torment the woman. Even though he was there, he couldn't do anything to her because she had a pure in her stance of how she lived her life. So she was not brought into the iniquitous pool that brought her into the same sins that would have allowed that demon in the first place prior to the praying grandmother. You know, who knows how far back that went. So when you break and you cancel and you render to no effect those things that are in you, that even though you may not get them cast out, they don't have a legal right to you. And I'm telling you, when God pours out His Spirit, there's going to be a mass, I call it a group deliverance. I hate the word mass. That got coined here, but I like group deliverance. There's going to be a group deliverance of individuals that God's going to take care of His people. And those demons are going to go into your neighbor. Those demons are going to go into the person that was giving you a hard time. See, one of the things about murder, if you murder somebody, the demons that were in the person you murdered now have a right to you. And they not only have a right to you, but the torment, the agony, the self-hatred of what you did, the toxic guilt and shame that comes upon. Now, some people it doesn't bother. Some people, their conscience are already seared, but torment is still awaiting them. I guarantee you that. when it comes to serious illnesses, and you may have cast demons out, there may have been damage done by the demon, and a healing it needs to take place. A divine intervention of God through the Holy Spirit to come in and recorrect those things. Okay? Now, that can come in different forms. The Lord can send someone to you. You know, I'm not against doctors, but unfortunately doctors have been programmed by the drug companies, and so they prescribe all this stuff that absolutely is toxic and killing, you know, shameful to us. But we need to remember that Luke himself was a doctor, and it was by no mistake. So there are people, whether it's through the medical or through the laying on of hands or through herbs or in different, you know, natural healing abilities, those avenues should always be addressed because that may be how God intended it to happen. But once you get a demon out, a healing may need to take place. So that would be my answer to that. So... All right, well, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to pray to close this out tonight. I've got two more shows for Phoenix to do. I need to do one of those tonight. And I'm going to focus my attention on shortwave radio. I've already been talking to two different stations. And the reason that I'm doing this is a last-ditch effort to reach as many people as possible. And the only way that I'm able to do this is those who have supported me. I just went through a very tough time, and because of your generosity and your love, you pulled me through it, and I really thank you for that. You took a lot of stress off of me. Just the way things worked out, the way the cards fell, things kind of got tight there. And plus, the economy just isn't doing well. I know that most of you out there are struggling, and if you are struggling, please take care of yourself first. The Lord will speak to those who you know that are going to come forth to help me, and that has worked. And so I can assure you that those who have helped me, good things are coming for you. Because this week alone, I had the ability to pray for a young man in my office. That was one of the best things that I had it happen to me in a long time. The Spirit of God was all over that. This is a young man who's not going to go through torment. This is a young man who's not going to be addicted to drugs or pornography. He's going to be a warrior in these last days. And that's exactly what we need. And the only way that happened is because of you people out there listening. So I thank you for that. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we move forth, as we move forward, and as you pour out your Spirit, Father, as we bring ourselves into alignment, as we recognize our faults, our sins, and we repent, we ask for forgiveness, we renounce, we confess, that, Father, as these things are being lifted and removed off of us, that as we humbly come before you, that we ask that you use us in these last days, that you divinely guide us to your will, that your will be done. And so, Father, we apologize for the past. We apologize for our disobedience. And now that we know the truth, now we know that these things that are coming are going to be severe, regardless, Father, that we ask for your guidance and your hand to be upon us, that no matter what the situation is, that as the Holy Spirit comes and descends upon us in the degree that you have for us, that the warmth and the love and the guidance and the understanding that we are loved and treasured by you is in our spirit, that no matter what the circumstances are, that we can persevere through it. And as this takes place, Father, and we accomplish and succeed and become victorious in the assignment that you have, Father, may you smile upon us. And, Father, in that we be still, may be still and know that you are God. And in that, Father, we praise you and we thank you. And, Father, for anyone who has an illness right now, anyone of infirmities, of sickness, of infection, anything of germ, anything of virus, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit comes down, that it burns everything up in these individuals right now listening and in the archives, that all sickness is gone. The blood is being purified. The body is being realigned. That all the tissue and all the organs, those things that of nerve endings, are being healed, being cleansed. Any toxins, any poisons, anything of heavy metals, right now, Father, we just ask for the heat to be turned up. And, Father, this is taking place like gold. As gold melts, the impurities come to the top. And, Father, may the Holy Spirit just come and wipe off all these impurities and keep us clean. And in that, Father, we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, well, God bless. And tomorrow night, Julie will be back on, and we've got a lot of stuff we're going to hit you with. So I suggest you have your pencils and papers and pads and get ready, because there's a lot of information. All right. Thank you and God bless. Good night.